I tell myself, it's not about comparing. But then I start wondering, what can they lift? Are they adding more weight to their barbell than I am? And suddenly, I'm not training. Then I realize, my journey is not theirs. I've earned every step. So I smile. My smile is the shape resilience takes to keep me moving. To put more smiles out into the world, Colgate has supported female athletes for over 50 years with the Colgate Women's Games, the nation's longest-running indoor track and field series for girls and women. Colgate, your smile is your strength.
CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scholar Report with Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. And we start globally in China. Chris has business in China, but right now we're observing the reaction by investors to the announcement mid-April that China's reported annual quarterly growth was 4.5%. What happened in reaction was China's stock shed $550 billion in value as doubts overshadow growth, reads the Financial Times headline. Investors skeptical about the strength of the country's economic recovery. Skeptical is generous. We also know that it's not just stocks listed in Shanghai and Hong Kong. The NASDAQ Golden Dragon Index, which tracks China's top New York-listed tech groups, has dropped by more than $31 billion. The sell-off is about. Chris, a very good day to you. Over these last weeks, you've been passing on anecdotes from the mainland about factory owners and enterprises looking for business. We've also noted that the supply chain has suddenly cleared itself up. There is plenty of room in container ships. There's plenty of room in ports in America. At first, I interpret that as consumers. But now I'm beginning to think something unusual has happened in China. Are they shrinking, Chris? Is that what we're seeing right now, a contraction of the Chinese model? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. If you look at a market like China, where roughly 40% or slightly less is domestic consumption from their GDP and the balance is for export, when you note the number of containers and container ships leaving China is off by a third, it's impossible to put any credibility to a 4.5% growth in their economy when it's much more likely or much more probable mathematically that the Chinese economy is shrinking. That shrink is because the U.S. consumer, in many cases the European consumer, is tapped out and they're buying less stuff. China being the factory floor for the world is taking that effect of a global recession, and it's translating to, in all probability, shrink of their economy rather than growth.
Is this the end of a multi-decade transformation when the factory floor was in the U.S. to the factory floor in Mexico and then the factory floor in China? Is it moving in another direction? Is it coming back to the U.S. or moving on to other countries like India? Can you tell?
Parts of it are moving back to the U.S. You see through things like the CHIPS Act and other high-value manufacturing starting to come back to the U.S. because companies and governments now understand the fragility of the supply chain. However, other parts are moving out of China, such as Apple iPhone assembly, to India, to Vietnam. There will still always be a kind of global economy where highly intense labor services are probably done outside of the United States because of the cost of labor, but it's shifting. And within the Chinese environment, the Chinese have known nothing but growth now for one and a half generations. It's very difficult for them. We've seen recessions in the U.S. We know what they're all about. You know that there's an upcycle and a down cycle, and that's just part of the nature of business. The Chinese don't know that because they've been running a rocket ship. Now that ship is starting to come back to Earth.
To Europe. You recently traveled in Europe, South Europe, North Europe. I'm told that the Europeans are surprised by their energy costs doubling, cost of electricity, because the subsidies that were in place in many governments at the beginning of the winter have now they've retired the subsidies, so they're paying for it. I'm also told that the Europeans are ready for prosperity again. Is there a recession in Europe now, or are they fending it off?
Absolutely a recession in Europe, probably not as broad or wide as it is in the U.S. today, but certainly have entered that recessionary period. You're seeing that constriction retail at the services level, but likely to spread. And then also in large manufacturing economies like Germany, the cost, the insane cost of energy now is translating into finished goods, heavy industrial equipment, manufacturing equipment, automobiles. So that could drive even more scarcity or problems because consumers can't afford those problems.
And to America. Now, a series of articles you've brought to my attention. I'm going to start with the Wall Street Journal because Greg Ipp, their financial writer, is keen on reminding us that the bank crisis of these last weeks is also a non-bank crisis. What's a non-bank? An insurance company or a pension fund, a hedge fund, a non-bank. And these non-banks were following much the same procedure that the banks like Silicon Valley Bank were following. A low interest rate environment, you borrow for almost nothing, and then you lend it out and achieve a profit. And you leverage all of this with long-term government or government securities. When the interest rates climb sharply, as they have since the spring of 2022, those long-term treasuries, long-term bonds, plunge in value. And that means you're not adequately leveraged. That's what happened to Silicon Valley Bank. According to Greg Ipp, it is either happening or potentially to happen to non-banks, insurance companies. And there are big investors in the stock market and everything else. So I mention all of that because it's part of the banking crisis. However, I come back to an observation I have from a recent study of the Panic of 1907, not about J.P. Morgan, not about Bankers Trust or rushing to the aid of the Knickerbocker Bank, all of this exciting Teddy Roosevelt behavior. No, what I learned is bank crises don't end suddenly, like somebody turning off a storm. They ebb and they flow. They start up again and then they go quiet. Chris, the banking crisis of weeks past, Silicon Valley Bank followed by Signature, now a bank called New Republic, Free Republic, is being tormented in the market. Its value reduced every day because of the exit of its depositors, very well-to-do depositors, up to $100 billion. Is this the banking crisis flaring up again, or is the banking crisis at an end? What is your sense?
John, the banking crisis never really went away. It will, to your point, ebb and flow a bit. But until two things change. One, until the consumer starts spending again, or this consumer has credit to spend again, you have a problem economically, and that will cause failures. Two, with the challenges in commercial real estate, and because of the defaults that have already started on large commercial real estate, many, especially regional banks, have great exposure to that commercial real estate marketplace. So the defaults there will likely cause a banking contagion to spread. Both of these issues are caused, in effect, by the interest rate rise and the challenges with interest rates causing all sorts of disruptions in the market. So root cause going to those two problems, until those problems are solved and ultimately the root cause, you're likely to continue to have banking challenges.
The actual name of the bank is First Republic. I said Free Republic because pretty soon a share of stock will be free. Now, this is also pointing to the trouble in auto loans and the trouble in regional banks. Is that all one great big crisis, Chris?
There are subsectors of the greater crisis caused by the interest rates, but yes, generally attributable to the same root cause.
The auto loans are the closest to the consumer. And right now there seems to be a hesitation to advance credit to car dealerships. There's certainly a hesitation in regional banks to loan money at a reasonable rate or anything that's attractive. Why are the regional banks pulling back? Is that, you've told me, that's about commercial real estate.
Correct. Both in the commercial real estate, and then I think the regional banks also understand that the consumer is under pressure. In what you would almost classify as subprime auto loans, you've seen several companies in that sector close in the last several weeks, and some of these companies are operating at scale because they could not get commercial rotating financing for their businesses. So the banks are seeing that consumer under pressure and know that one of the first things that will default will be cars and auto loans. So they're trying to get out of the way of that coming carnage.
And in America right now, the consumer is hesitating because we've not had a retail number that shows that, and we've not had hiring numbers that talk about layoffs. So is the recession here, Chris?
Recession is certainly here. Mr. Kempinski, the CEO of McDonald's, was out earlier this week with statements about the consumer hesitating around a $9 value meal or $9 meal at McDonald's. So the consumer is starting to show points of fatigue in their everyday life financially. That will likely just grow from this point.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm with business on all the continents where we do business. Transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Plan B made over-the-counter emergency contraception legal more than 20 years ago. It's a safe, effective backup birth control option that helps prevent pregnancy before it starts by temporarily delaying ovulation. Plan B is the number one OBGYN recommended brand and the only one that you can find at all major retailers in all 50 U.S. states. There's no minimum age requirement and you don't need an ID to buy it. You can order it through DoorDash and other major delivery platforms too. That's freedom to be. Use as directed.
Today's episode was brought to you by Simple Mills, the feeling of the sun in a delicious snack. From their tasty crackers to their crunchy cookies, Simple Mills snacks taste good and are good for you because they're made from purposefully chosen ingredients. That purpose? Lifting you up, never weighing you down, so you can keep shining through the day. Find Simple Mills at your grocery store.
What if you could get more from what you already do? As a Shell Fuel Rewards member, that's just a regular weekday afternoon. You get more rewards, more savings, and more special offers. Earn rewards when shopping, dining out, and fueling up. And all of that becomes fuel savings when you're at the pump. Use the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is less than 5 miles away.